Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Next time you happen to be on the road, or if you are in your car right now, just take a look at the vehicles around you. Maybe count about 10. Well, according to some of the latest data and figures, 1 in 10 South African cars is now a second-hand import. Let's contextualize what that is and why it does raise some concerns on the impact that it might have on our economy. To help us detail this is Michael Mabasa, who is the CEO of the National Association of Automobile Manufacturers in South Africa, also known as NAMSA. Mr. Mabasa, always a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Hello, Google. Are you well tonight?
Keeping well and warm. This winter has been a challenge for many of us, eh? I hope you're comfortable and warm too.
I am indeed. I'm in safe hands.
Fantastic. I'm always happy to hear that. Mr. Mabasa, whenever we take a look at the amazing research that NAMSA does publish, it often leaves me surprised, because for many South Africans, we can't contextualize the idea of secondhand imported vehicles in South Africa. One would actually think that that's quite difficult to do. But help us contextualize that definition, meaning and understanding, and how it actually works in South Africa.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you very much for having us, Gugu. Just maybe to create some context, in South Africa today, it is actually illegal for anyone to bring a second-hand vehicle into the South African market. Our laws currently as they stand do not allow the importation of second-hand vehicles into the South African market unless you have a permit that you need to apply for in advance with the international authorities, ITEC in particular, who are, you know, assisting us in processing these applications in order for, you know, ordinary South Africans to be able to own second-hand vehicles. And many of these South Africans who normally apply are those, for an example, who went out of the country onto trade missions or onto embassies around the world, and they bought vehicles where they were based and they want to bring those vehicles back into South Africa. Or, you know, your collectors, you know, there are people who are obviously collecting, you know, fantastic vehicles that are classified as very, very specific vehicles that are not obviously available on the market. They're not in South Africa. And these are collectors, and they do that for as part of their sport. And only those guys are the ones that can be able to bring those vehicles, subject to them applying with ITEC in order for them to be able to bring vehicles onto South African roads. Now, the challenge we have is that South Africa is obviously sharing borders with landlocked countries. Take, for an example, a country like Lesotho, where all their borders are with South Africa. Now, yes, in order for Lesotho to get their goods and services, particularly big products like, for an example, vehicles and so on, they cannot fly those vehicles into their country. Those vehicles must dock at the Durban port through a ship, and those vehicles must now get onto a truck, and that truck must drive on South African roads in order for those vehicles to go to Maseru and other parts of Lesotho. The same is Swaziland, Botswana, and some parts of Namibia as well, where many of their vehicles are still coming through the Durban port. So that is where the current leakage is actually sitting, because many of those vehicles are actually destined to go to those landlocked countries, but they don't end up in those countries because the criminal syndicate has seen a loophole where they are able to bring in vehicles when they land on the Durban port or at the Durban port. Those vehicles have the right registration, they've got the right documentation, but they actually don't end up into those countries where they're destined.
I'm glad you contextualize this for us, for, you know, so that we understand the complexity, but more importantly, the regulations around this. And as you say, this does pose a significant threat to the South African market. And I'm hoping that you can give us a lot more detail, because there's a lot of challenges in terms of the roadworthiness of these illegally secondhand imported vehicles.
Absolutely. So there are five main challenges that we have with these vehicles, Gugu. The first one is obviously these vehicles, they rob the South African fiscus, you know, the much. Every vehicle that is imported into the country is imported, and that vehicle is levied an import duty. So they need to be able to pay an import duty in order for it to be on our roads. So we are currently estimating around 4 billion rands that the South African fiscus is losing as a result of these illegal imports. The second aspect is obviously rob us as a country, and it hurts job creation because you know, South Africa is a vehicle producing country, and because we have a proliferation of these second-hand vehicles, we end up in a situation where our OEMs are not able to employ more people in their plants because we are not selling as many vehicles as we should be, because second-hand vehicles are now dumped onto South African roads illegally. The third one, these illegal vehicles are also used to aid criminal activity on our roads. When you look at, for an example, a number of these cash-in-transit heights that we see on our roads, when the police do their investigation, they actually realize that many of those vehicles are not registered vehicles, they're not on the e-NATO system, and they cannot be able to track them because those vehicles were brought into the country illegally. The fourth one, it's obviously undermining road safety initiatives because these vehicles are often very old vehicles, they have dirty engines, and they are obviously undermining our road safety initiatives because many of them get involved in car accidents because of their poor service records, because many of them also don't have the right, you know, second-hand, you know, components that we need to be able to use to replace when those vehicles have broken down. And then the last one, they obviously bring a very negative impact to the environment because many of them obviously are old vehicles, and they obviously pollute a lot of greenhouse gas emissions into the environment as well.
You've listed a number of risks there that speak to the economics, the social impact, and of course, crime aspect as well that speaks to this. A lot of us might be sitting here and thinking, this is quite a quagmire. Are there proposed solutions to solve for this?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are working very closely with government to try and obviously nip that this one in the bud. The one first step that we have now obviously put on the table is to reconsider relocating the importation of these vehicles as they arrive into the country so that they don't come through South Africa, so that we can also be able to release you know, our car terminal from the Durban port from processing these vehicles, because it's also creating a lot of backlog, particularly at the car terminal in Durban. So we are talking to our colleagues in Maputo, and the authority that is managing that port in Maputo has already agreed. Grindrod is actually you know, managing that particular port, and they've agreed that they are more than happy to receive those vehicles through the Maputo corridor, and that will obviously help us a great deal. And we are now talking to the South African Police Service and also our border management control so that those vehicles, as they come through Maputo, the police are able to make sure that the necessary law enforcement activities are conducted to make sure that we are able to at least mitigate against the risk.
There's an important lesson that I think we as South African consumers also need to learn around this, especially as affordability of purchasing a vehicle weighs heavy on us. But what do we need to be cognizant of should I see a special on a vehicle I like and needing to evaluate if it is correctly registered and not part of, I guess, illegally imported vehicles? Do we have a responsibility as citizens?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we normally encourage particularly those consumers who opt to buy secondhand vehicles as opposed to brand new vehicles to insist, for an example, on getting more information about the pre-owners of that particular vehicle to understand the history of that vehicle, who owned this vehicle, when was this vehicle bought, when was it traded, how many times was it serviced. And also not to rely only on the service book that they get from the cubbyhole, because yes, you do have a cubbyhole, book that is stamped by a dealership, but we also encourage our consumers and our customers to also go into a dealership of that particular brand, because many of the information is also kept now, electronically into our systems, and it's easier now to be able to track and trace, for an example, how the vehicle has behaved over the last couple of years. So we're really encouraging our consumers to be absolutely vigilant and to ask all the necessary questions before they take their hard-earned cash and buy these second-hand vehicles.
Just before we get duped by so-called good deals, do your research beforehand. Thank you so much, Mr. Mabasa. Always a pleasure speaking to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Gugu.
Thank you. That's Michael Mabasa, the CEO of NAMSA, helping us unpack the complexities around illegally imported second-hand vehicles in South Africa. So do understand that, yes, there might be certain processes that need to be followed by ITAC, but essentially, we do need to be mindful of illegally imported second-hand vehicles in the country.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.